So the gospel is good news for everyone. And that's what we've been saying now for a number of weeks. The gospel is good news for everyone. And here's the thing. It's not just good news that you receive when you go into the store and see like a shirt that you really wanted to buy is on sale. I mean, that's good news, but you know, and it's not like the kind of good news that, hey, you just got named MVP from the game yesterday. I mean, that's good news, right? Or like Kevin said, good news, the weather is going to feel like spring next week. That's good news. But that's not the kind of good news that we're talking about when we're talking about the gospel of Jesus. When you hear the word gospel in your mind and heart, that should evoke that this is a life-changing, paradigm-shifting, like life-altering news. It's good news. That changes everything. Now, last week we talked about, Kevin was here, and we talked about the idea that in the latter half of the gospel stories that we find in the Bible, Jesus makes a turn toward the cross, intentionally turns his face, walking toward Jerusalem where he'll be executed. Now, he's been spending his ministry time up to that point talking about himself as the king, that he is the promised king that Israel has been waiting for. But he's also the kind of king that nobody knew they needed. You see, what we're going to be talking about for the next several weeks as we lead right up into Easter is that Jesus claims that he is the Messiah king. He is the king that must go to the cross. He's the king that must go to the cross. You see, he's going to die to be a savior, to save us from all the other saviors that you and I run to in order to somehow make sense of and heal the mess that we've made out of our lives, that you and I have made out of our own lives. He came to save us, to be king. And instead of all the kings that you and I would bow down to and say, tell me who I really am, tell me what's really true, he came to save us from that kind of savior, from those kind of kings. He came to die for us to set us free. And that is good news. Now, it comes with a warning. Jesus comes with a warning with his gospel, and you and I need to pay attention. Because what he says is, be careful. He actually says this, be careful, watch out. Because when you and I, maybe you haven't done this yet this morning, maybe you're not here yet where you've answered the invitation of the gospel. That's okay. We're just glad you're here. All right, but many of you have answered the invitation to the gospel, and Jesus says, that's good, but watch out. Because there is a trap that has been laid for you and me. And if we're not careful, we'll step into the gospel and this trap will keep us from actually experiencing the good news in its entirety at all. So watch out. Be careful. So Thursday this week, my wife and I did something that we do only about once every decade or more. We bought a car. God help us. And you have to watch out and be very careful when you buy a car. So we're very out of practice. The last time we did this, like, cars actually, I mean, the technology that's in cars now, I mean, I'm like driving this thing thinking I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't even know that I'm driving it, to be honest with you. So we settle on the price, you know, it's a used car, we settle on the price, and then you've got to be careful because you think like, okay, there's the price, and then they take you into the back room with the finance guy, right? You know what I'm saying? And on the smart board on his desk is all these beautiful like warranty things. And Denise and I, we had made a decision before we walked in there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you've got to be careful, man. They're sneaky. You think you got this car and you walk in there and like, you know, you don't have that car. And it's gonna cost a heck of a lot more than you thought it was gonna cost, right? You gotta be careful. Well, listen, today we're going to jump into Matthew chapter 19, and we're gonna start in verse 16. And I want to show you a passage that's just a beautiful passage. And we're going to just be in it together here this morning. So if you have your Bibles, if you have an app on your phone, I want you to open it up to chapter 19 of Matthew. We're going to be in verse 16. If you don't have a Bible, Kevin mentioned the hub out here. We have free Bibles for you. So we'd love for you to take one. But you're going to get a lot from this interaction that Jesus has in verse 16, Matthew chapter 19. Let's read it together. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There's only one who is good. And if you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Well, all of these I've kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" And Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go. Sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Okay. You know, Jesus is headed towards Jerusalem, and I told you that. Jesus is headed towards Jerusalem. His destination is the cross. And somewhere along this journey, this man runs up to him in the middle of the street, maybe out on the dirt road, and he falls on his knees before Jesus. Because what he really wants to know, sincerely, is what do I have to do? What does it take? What must I do to get a hold of this life, this salvation that you're pointing to, Jesus? Beautiful question. Beautiful question. And Jesus answers. And this, in fact, this is going to be where we're just going to camp out today on this. It's our big idea. He says, true love gives it all away. True love gives it all away. Now, Matthew tells us that this man was rich. And in fact, he's rich in two different ways, okay? He's rich in the fact that he has a lot of moral wealth, doesn't he? Right? He comes to Jesus and he says, "I've been following all of the Hebrew scriptures, all of the Ten Commandments. Since I was a little kid, I had them memorized, and I've been a good man. I'm a good person." And he comes to Jesus and he falls on his knees and says, "I trust you to tell me what other good thing I must do." He's a good guy. He has a lot of moral credentials. You see his resume, morally, he's good. But he also says that he's physically wealthy. He has a lot of material things, okay? He's got a lot of wealth. And in fact, in Jesus' day, it was thought that if you were financially well off, then you were a good person because God had blessed you. God had blessed you, and if God blesses you, that means that you're good, that you've been good. Now, that's not too unfamiliar for how sometimes we approach God today. In fact, you've asked this question recently. When something that happens in your life or mine, and it didn't go the way that we wanted it to, sometimes in a prayer or sometimes in like just an angry fist to God, like, "Why are you doing this to me? What did I do to deserve this?" Right? And so we're not so far removed from the ancient world, because our thought is, well, if something bad happens, that must mean that I've not done something good. Works the same way, at least in our minds. But so this guy's rich, okay? He's young, he's wealthy, he's probably got a great head of hair, like everything that comes with that, all right? And he's got all of that going on for him. But he knows he lacks something spiritually. Okay, after all of that, he comes and he falls at Jesus' feet and he says, "I still feel like I'm missing something." Do you ever have that conversation? Maybe just in your own head, maybe it's with God, where you know that there's something that you lack spiritually. Do you ever ask God about that? About what it is that you lack? See, this guy gets a bad rap in this story. If you're familiar with this story, the rich young ruler couldn't give up his money and he went away sad. But listen, here's the thing. I'm gonna tell you what. He's light years ahead of where some of us are. At least he can see that he lacks something spiritually. So he comes to Jesus admitting it. What do I still lack? What's the next good thing I can do? But then he goes away. Jesus answers and he says what it says. So he goes away sad. He goes away deeply grieved in his heart. He walks away. Jesus sends him packing. Why? Because he's fallen into the trap. Watch out, be careful. And he wasn't. He'd fallen into the trap because he sought to be good, but his heart was not in love with God. Be careful. Be careful. You and I need to be careful too. So how can we avoid the trap? Here's what I want to break down for us in the scripture here today. Right? How can you and I avoid the trap of encountering the gospel, this good news, and walking away sad, walking away deeply grieved? We don't want that. You don't want that. So how can we avoid it? So here's the first thing that happens. One, the man went away sad because he encountered the real Jesus. Now, he could have been a man that had at least heard of Jesus's teaching and power. My guess is for sure that's the case. It's possible that this man had been in the crowds at some point in Jesus's ministry and he'd actually seen or heard of it for himself, all right? So he knew Jesus had some moral authority. At the very least, he knew Jesus had, he honored Jesus. He got down on his knees. This is a wealthy man, some fine robes he had on. He falls down to the dirt at Jesus' knees. He's admitting, Jesus, you've got some moral authority in my life. And I'm gonna, there's most of us in this room, I'll just go ahead and say that, where we do the same thing. That you and I will acknowledge that Jesus has some moral authority in your life. For many of us, that's at least why you're here today. Jesus has some good advice for me. Jesus has some valuable things to say. Jesus was on to something with this whole love your neighbor stuff, right? Jesus has the power to do things in you or for you. And most of us would recognize that. Right? Well, this guy did the same thing. He was acknowledging that Jesus had some sort of authority. But listen to me, I want to tell you something, and it's something that starts to be unveiled here and right here on this passage, is that Jesus has more for you than you've ever dreamed of. And Jesus asks more of you than you've ever really thought. And when you come face to face with the real Jesus, asking him to his face, Jesus, what do you want from me? Like, what do you want of me? Are you ready to hear the answer? You see, when you encounter the real Jesus, you have two options. One is to fall down on your knees and worship and submit. And the other one is to walk away offended and sad. True love gives it all away. Here's the second thing. This man walks away sad because Jesus smashed his religious views. This man came to Jesus with some assumptions about how religion works. In fact, this man comes to Jesus, all right? And he feels a little uneasy. He feels not entirely secure he feels not entirely sure about his relationship with God. And I wonder if I were to ask you, or if anyone were to ask you, if you're sure about your relationship with God, whatever that means, what would you say? How would you answer it? What would you point to when you give the answer? Yes, I'm sure because of, or no, I'm not sure because of, what would you say? You see, there was this assumption that this man had, And this assumption is that Christianity is something that you can just add to your life. Be careful. Be careful, because it sounds true that Jesus is just something that you can add to your moral beliefs. Jesus is just something that you can add to your plans. Jesus is just something that you can add to your career. Jesus is something you can just sprinkle over your plans for your relationships and your sexuality, right? And anything else, that you can just insert Jesus into those things, rather than the gospel of Jesus Christ totally flipping your life on end, totally flipping it on its head. Paradigm shifting, life altering news. But the assumption is I can just insert Jesus into some things that I already believe, want, and do. And the next assumption is, therefore, the gospel just must be something that I do. That was what this young man's assumption was. Jesus, tell me what I have to do. And Jesus said, you see that question that he asked? Why do you call me good? Only God is good. And so what Jesus is saying to this man is, listen, you've got a complete misunderstanding of what goodness and badness is. You see, you've been spending your whole life, this is what he's saying, this man, okay? You've been spending your whole life accumulating good things and avoiding the bad. But if you just spend your life repenting of bad things, that just makes you religious. And then Jesus looks at him and says, so what do you lack? I'll tell you what you lack. You need to start repenting of how you've used the good things in your life. And then come follow me. See, the gospel is something you receive. It's not something that you do. Be careful. Watch out. Here's the third thing. This man goes away grieved, the Bible says, sad, because Jesus got super personal with him. We don't like that too much. We like platitudes, we like to read some scripture that encourages, but Jesus got very personal with him. The Gospel of Mark in this story says, I love what the Gospel of Mark says, it adds something that Matthew doesn't say us, is that Jesus looked at this man, it's a simple line, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Have you ever read that in Mark in this story? Jesus looked at him and loved him. He looked past his outside, his wealth, his fine hair and clothes. He looked past that, and Jesus could read this man's heart like a book. And he knew it was there. And Jesus said, I see what your real issue is. I see something that's killing you. Do you want to know what your issue is, my friend, my son? It's your money. Now, it's not... it might be surprising, but it's not a coincidence that for every one time in the Gospels that Jesus warns people not to hang their life on sex and romance, for every one time he shares that in the Gospels, 10 times for every one, he talks about the dangers of money and wealth. It's interesting. In Luke chapter 10, there's this parable that Jesus tells, and in Luke chapter 10, in one of these, he says this. Jesus said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Watch out, be real careful. Now, what's kind of funny, in a not funny way, is that Jesus never says that about adultery. Watch out, be careful. He never says it about stealing. You know why I think that is? Because you know if you've committed adultery. It doesn't sneak up on you. You know if you stole the pack of gum. You either did or you didn't. Those things are obvious. But what Jesus does say, watch out, be careful. It's sneaky. It's not obvious. It will get you and you won't even know it. Greed. money, and wealth. Watch out. This is a sneaky one, Jesus said. I was reading this article, a couple articles in the Market Watch magazine the other day, and I wanted to share with you something that it said. I kind of thought this was fascinating in a scary sense. It says that a smaller percentage of people in America today say that patriotism, religion, or children are most important to them. In 1998, there was a poll, and today, much fewer Americans said that patriotism, religion, and children are important to them. However, the increase came in the number of people who said they value money. In fact, they said in this poll, the percentage of Americans who see money as very important rose dramatically from 1988 to 2019, and said it's risen again since 2019, that it was the only value polled that was seen as more important to Americans now than it was 25 years ago. Money. Watch out. Wealth has some particular hold on us. Has this particular way of blinding you and me to our spiritual situation. Be careful. In fact, it has such a power to blind us, so Jesus seems to hint at here, that you cannot overcome it on your own. It will sneak in and grab your heart so effectively that only a miracle from God can rescue you from it. I want you to look in Matthew 19, verse 23, all right? This is kind of the next verse that from where we just read. The man had walked away sad. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And here in verse 25 is where you see their shock at their culture. They thought rich people was a sign of God's blessing and God's favor on your goodness. Listen to their response. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, then who can be saved? If rich people can't be saved, if they're not good enough, who is? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Who then can be saved from this trap? Only the person who receives the gospel. Are you tracking with me? See, we think often that we have a spiritual problem, and usually that problem isn't the real problem. Do you know what our spiritual problem is? If we were to come to the feet of Jesus and bow, it's that you and I are in a power struggle over who's in control of our lives between yourself and with God. You're in a power struggle. See, Jesus comes to you, and he comes to me, and he says, listen, I want you to give me your dreams. I want you to give me your most sincere and deepest desires. Give them over to me. Your desire for comfort and retirement, I want it. Your desire to have children, I want that too. Your desire for your life of romance, I want that. Your desire to make a name for yourself, for acceptance, give that to me. Your desire and the plan that you have for your life, I want that too. Give it over to me. Because what Jesus knows is that that's the cancer in your life. That's the thing that's killing you, because that's the thing that you believe will give you joy and significance outside of God. And it's killing you. And then Jesus says, but it's okay. Because if you give it to me, we'll fight and we'll destroy it before it destroys your heart. Surrender those things to me. Follow me. I'll decide how much money you need to have. I'll decide what your relationships will look like. I'll show you what real acceptance feels like. Give it to me. Let me decide. And the young man's attitude towards his wealth had such a hold on him, it had become the leading idol in his life. Money is so dangerous. It causes anxiety and stress like nothing else. It causes you to work too much. It causes you to be less disciplined. In fact, it is unarguable statistically that the more money you have, the less generous you are. Statistically, absolutely true. The more money you have, the less generous you are. Because it has a hold on you. It's your comfort. It's your value. It's your stockpile. It's your future. And Jesus says, go and sell it all to this man. But you won't, will you? Its hold on you is too great. See, the reason that you and I come to, this is what Jesus says to this man, the reason that you come to me, my son, who I love, is because you know you're not good. You sense there's a deep lacking, and you're unwilling to do what I've called you to do. And that will send you away grieved to your heart. Unwilling to love and trust. I love the way that Matthew 19 says this, and one of the passages we just read is from the Message version of the Bible. Listen to this. The young man said, I've done all of that. What's left? If you want to give it all you've got, Jesus replied, go sell your possessions, give everything to the poor. All your wealth will then be in heaven. Then come follow me. And that was the last thing the young man expected to hear. And so, crestfallen, he walked away. He was holding on tight to a lot of things, and he couldn't bear to let them go. True love gives it all away. And the last thing that sent this man packing so sad is that he didn't understand what it meant to have treasure in heaven. Jesus said to him, young man, I want you to imagine your life, all of your money gone, your retirement, your servants, your mansion, it's all gone. I want you to imagine your life with that. And then Jesus looked at him and lifted his head and said, imagine it all gone and all you had was me. Would that be enough for you? Would that be enough for you? See, to lose his money for this guy was to lose his comfort, his value, his identity, the one thing that he could wear and show others that would somehow cover his feelings of inadequacy, his sin. For this man, the controlling thing in his life that gave him identity and value and covered the stain of his own heart was money. What is that thing for you? What is that thing for you? And you want to avoid the trap that keeps you from really experiencing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first thing that Jesus says, and I'm just kidding here, is that admit the dangers of it. Admit the dangers of it. Admit that it's dangerous. Admit that it has control on you. Admit that you put your value there. Admit that you put your identity there. Admit that you put your longings there and that it means more to you. Jesus says, until you admit the dangers of the thing that is attacking your heart, Jesus says, I can't have you follow me. You and I can't even have a relationship until you admit the dangers of the things that has controlling influence in your life. That's the first thing. The second thing Jesus says to him is to give it away. Get rid of it. And I don't know for you if it's money. For all of us, it is money. But I don't know what else it is for you. Jesus says, get rid of it. Release its hold on you to tell you that you're important. Release its hold on you to tell you that you're valued. Release its hold on you to say that this is the thing that makes me comfortable. This is the thing that secures me. Give it away, Jesus says. Give it away. Get rid of it. And then thirdly, receive Jesus as your treasure. Jesus looks at this man and he's looking at you as sons and daughters, you and me right now. It says, if you want to receive the gospel, like you want to see treasure in heaven, treasure in eternity, Jesus says, then receive me as your treasure. Let me be your righteousness. Let me be your value. Let me be your acceptance. Let me be your identity. Let me be your comfort. Take on what I have. Here's it. Take on my goodness. Let my goodness be your goodness and you'll lack nothing. You'll lack nothing. You see, Jesus was 33 years old when he walked into Jerusalem and was nailed to a cross. He was young. And he was rich. He left his throne in heaven and put on human skin. And I'm talking about the kind of human skin that tears when it's lashed with a whip. Our King, our Messiah, was rich. But he came to earth and he put on human skin, the kind that punctures when you drive a nail through it. That's the kind. You see, we serve a king, a Messiah, who saves on the cross. He was rich. And he gave it all away so that you could have life to the fullest in him. He doesn't want you, and I certainly don't want you, to hear the good news of the gospel, and for whatever reason today, for you to turn and walk away sad. I don't want you to walk away grieved when you encounter Jesus and encounter the gospel. So today, this morning, put it down and take him up. I'm going to ask you to stand here with, if you'd stand. Because I'm going to pray for us here in a moment. And then we're going to worship through song. I want to invite you to three things today as you sing and worship. To pray. If you have never received the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would love to have you come forward after the service. We'd love to talk to you about baptism, putting your faith in Jesus and taking him on. And if you've never made that decision for yourself, we're going to be celebrating baptisms this Easter in a few weeks, and we would love to talk to you about that. Receive it today. Don't walk away sad. Don't make the mistake that guy did. Jesus loves you. And the other thing that I would say, I want to pray for you is that you would repent. As we stand and sing and pray, that you would repent of and admit what you've been holding on to and lay it down today. And that you would worship. That you and I would just worship. Pray with me. Jesus, King, Savior, you look at us and you love us, Father. Holy Spirit, reveal to us the thing that has a controlling influence in our lives, Father, and may we, by your power, lay it down before you and receive all the goodness and all the benefits and all the blessings of the gospel through your Son, Jesus. We ask you to do it in his name. Amen.